Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Well, if this is it, old boy, I hope you don't mind if I go out speaking to kings.
I sound posh, but I'm not posh.
Are you taking the piss?
Do yourself a fucking favour, mate, because this is your last chance for a fucking peaceful night.
Recording live from London.
Yes, London. You know, fish, chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, Mary fucking Poppins, London.
That's Ashley.
Fucking cunt.
And this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Yeah, it's usually Destructoid with Jim Sterling. He's a cunt. I'm getting fucking tongue-tied, mate. Throat's dry, none's nasty. But today they publish an article saying they sold 24 million fucking units of a useless piece of shit called the Kinect, and they're saying it's slow going. Fuck off. Basically, it's because these arseholes are putting out shit, basically. About the Wii U, people talk about that being a next generation console, which is not. Wii U sales not bad, says Nintendo president. It's also sold at a loss, with bollocks, for Nintendo, albeit a slight, relatively slight one. What a load of crap. Don't believe that for a fucking second, you lying bastards. Iwata is so full of shit. It's unbelievable.
That guy is a loyal motherfucker. He really is.
I never leave you locked the lurch with anything.
All of a sudden I can't fucking have a... All of a sudden I can't once in a while just have a pleasant chat conversation with radio sensation Ashley Fuller. Can't even fucking get him to respond to you anymore. I love to talk, mate, but I'm just prepping for my show. How many times can you go to IGN in a day?
We had the BGAs the other day, which I couldn't give three fucks about, but I'll go into that in a second. Despite enough warning signs about server demand during the frenzy hype, Blizzard did not expect... Jesus Christ, I wish these fucking cunts would... actually proofread this shit. I mean, I'm the one who's got to read this fucking crap. I've killed a bunch of people in the game. I want to do it in real life. No one says that. No one thinks that at all. And I say people who do think that that is the least of violence are basically politicians who have no fucking clue anyway, who've never played a game and who probably think the latest game now is Pac-Man or something stupid like that. I mean, to be honest, if they stop making violent games, we might as well just play in fucking Barbie Horse Adventures.
Halo, well, does Halo have a story?
Hopefully the acquisition means only good things for IGN itself and its post-News Corp iteration. But I hope it means they all fucking die. Says THQ former CEO Brian Farrell. It has been my pleasure to work alongside this group of people. No, you haven't. You sat in your office and fuck all day, you lying bastard. Basically pulls the pants down of every fucking gamer. And literally, they just sort of fisses up the arse. But yeah, so yeah. Welcome to the show.
And good evening, everyone. Hopefully you've had a good day, whenever it is you listen to this. This is Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. I'm Ashley, and I'm a time travel addict in Animal Crossing New Leaf. I said I was done with it, but I did a little bit more to open up a bit more of the game. But so I'll get into that later. Get into all the usuals. So if you're a listener of Ron and Fez, I know I'm not, because why should I pay to listen to radio? When you can listen to it free on morelikeradio.com, all the great shows. As usual, usual pleasantries. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Antisocial Gamer Radio. But you can join our Facebook group, that's facebook.com/groups/MLR Gamer Lobby. Also follow us on Twitter at MLR Gamer Radio.
And if you want to email us, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. But yeah, so I'll get into the usuals. I have been playing some more Animal Crossing New Leaf. And I did a bit more time travelling than I said I would. But basically what I wanted to do was finish upgrading the shop to the Emporium, which I've done. Which I think I had to sort of time travel about 2 months into the future just to get it done. Because basically, the giraffe male woman, Gracie, you know, I talked about last week, had to pop to the town 4 times and I had to do the style that he or she wanted. And I did it and basically opened up the Emporium. Now it's basically 3 floors. First floor is the gardening and the odds and sods. It's like a shovel, fishing rod, the basic sort of stuff, your star coins that you use on your fortune cookies. That sort of stuff. The second one's where all the main stuff is. And also the third one is Gracie's own private store. But that stuff's really expensive. She's like tables and chairs and clocks and stuff is at least, you know, 6 figures. It's really, really expensive. But yeah, so other stuff I didn't know. I've not unlocked. I had it open for a while. But I was watching one of the Zach Scott's games videos on YouTube. And he was like using the HHA. Which I have no idea what it is. But it's basically some sort of area where I think someone had come to my world or I got to someone else's world in the dream world. And it's basically they've got their little house on a certain patch of area extra in the game. I'm not the best person to explain it because I'm not even sure what it is. But basically someone else's house is in a certain part of the game. So I went over to there to have a look at all the items they've got and I can use the catalogue to buy their items. So I bought a couple of things, but it's some really good space sort of themed items. And there's like projectors and screens and all sorts of weird stuff. And it's actually really good sort of bit. So I bought some bits and pieces to sort of upgrade my house. Well, to sort of fashion my house, sort that out. But yeah, I'm sort of not exactly done with it. I'm still playing through it as you would. I lost my my rose garden from all that time traveling, but basically I just got a load of plants and just plant them in certain areas to breed more so that they just sort of fan out across the whole area. I need to get back into sort of interacting with my villagers. There's a couple of new ones. I think it's a monkey and there's some sort of pink hippo or squirrel or something. Having tons of fun with the game. It's really, really good. Also, I downloaded the last week's Summer of Arcade game, which was Flashback, which is a remake of, I think it's the 1992 game. It's all done by the same people who made the first one. It's not bad. It's a bit buggy. I mean, I got stuck on a lift trying to get off, and I couldn't move the character. But I got through the demo, did what it needed me to do. I'm not even sure if I bothered picking up. It's got sort of mixed reviews from what I've been hearing, sort of mostly negative, but some positive. If I bother to pick it up, if I'm bored, if it's on sale, I might, I don't know. Before the show, I was sort of looking at stuff that I played over the week, and they've got the Zone of the Enders HD collection. That's at, I think, £12 or £13. That's, you know, I was thinking about picking it up, but I could just buy it, if I just download it, if I can just buy it off of Amazon or whatever for the same price. But, you know, I'm just sort of thinking about it. Also, what else did I play? Yes, literally before the show, I played the demo for the NHL 2014 from EA Sports. It's actually really good. I don't really watch hockey, but I do like the hockey games that EA make. And this one, I mean, the graphics look really good. The character models look super realistic. I did win the game. It was the demo they give you, the Boston Bruins against the Chicago Blackhawks. And due to my friends in Boston, I was the Bruins, and we won. Scored 2 really good goals. It starts off at the end of the third period, and it gives you a little bit of time to sort of play your game, you know, do what you need to do, get adjusted with the controls, which I sort of fit, snap back into quite quickly and easily. Scored 2 really impressive goals. I think I will pick this up when it comes out. I'll wait a bit for the all the bugs and stuff to be passed out of the game for all the patches that we're going to get. And plus, now we've got no online pass. There's no need to worry about the online season. So basically, we'll just probably wait till it comes down to cheaper. Comes a bit cheaper and pick it up then. But Yeah, I'm not fussed. I mean, it does look really good, and I don't think I've had a hockey game for a good while. I do buy a couple, but I mean, it's the same with everything. I buy the football ones, I buy the hockey ones, and I buy the golf ones. Don't touch the basketball because it's too boring and slow. Other stuff, I did get back into playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. I did touch a bit of the multiplayer. I don't really, with the new stuff coming out, there's literally barely anyone playing because, I mean, we've got Black Ops 2, which everyone's playing. I tried to play the Kill Confirmed match to get into that, but nothing was happening from that. So basically I just went into Team Deathmatch, played a few rounds, got my ass handed to me a couple of times. Did okay in one or two, but just, you know, everyone else is playing something else, and I'm more interested in the new one. We'll see what that's like. Big thing, though, Saints Row 4. I picked that up last Friday. I say if you listen to 360 on 420, at the end of that there was like a bonus show, which I called into for about an hour and sort of talked about, you know, everything. And once I'd finished that, it was literally Postman had dropped the game off. So went and picked it up, played it all day Friday, bit of Saturday, all day Sunday, and finished it. It's, you know, it's quite funny because I was looking at the achievements that I hadn't got because I've got most of them. There's one for like playing the game for like 40 hours. And I'm like, well, shit, I just completed this game in about 21. So I don't know. I might just leave it at that. But I mean, I have I've done everything in the game. I've played all the mini games because once you play the mini game, you get at least minimum of bronze. It unlocks the bit of the area that you've taken over. Because basically, you've got to sort of take over the whole map. I'll go into basic what stories. You're the president of the United States. I mean, the game starts off, you're on some sort of mission to get the bad guy from the last one, that sort of crazy military guy. And then basically you have to hunt him down, you fight him, you kill him. And then it's really good with the soundtrack, because there's a bit where you're trying to stop a nuclear missile, and it starts playing the Aerosmith song from Armageddon. And you're basically just climbing up this nuclear missile as the music's playing. I was laughing my head off. It's a really good soundtrack. I mean, the only decent station on it is the mix. Because it's got like 90s stuff. It's got, you know, 90s rap and a bunch of songs from 90s. It's really good. It's like the only decent station on there. But yeah, I sort of listened to that a bit. And basically, just climbed up the missile. You take the parts that you need to when it shows you. And then once it blows up, basically land, smash through the White House, and you're sitting in the Oval Office, and then basically sort of flashes forward that you're now the President of the United States. You saved the world, and now basically you're sitting pretty in the big chair, and then the whole planet gets invaded by aliens, and then you're sent into some sort of simulated, was it 1950s era, sort of little, it's like a mini area of like Steelport, and then you escape that, and then you're sent to another simulation of Steelport, like this, the real one, and it's basically just going through like that. And there's loads of different mini games, which I mean, some of them are from before the injury fraud one, which is pretty fun. And there's a new one because you basically in this one you get superpowers, and the game does really quickly turn into Crackdown. I mean, there's loads of little orbs there's sort of patches that you can get, and you collect them, and you can unlock upgrades and stuff for your powers, and which, you know, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, that's what else was there to do? The guns are okay. With the superpowers, I mean, you just have to get your freezing, there's fire, I think there's lightning as well, but there's different things you can do. There's like you can run really fast, or you can use your shields, or you can glide around the city. You can sort of, you know, cause earthquakes by jumping up and then smashing into the ground. And there's tons of different things, but I mean, there was no really need for guns because I just basically all I did was sort of freeze all the really weak enemies and they just run into them and it just shattered them. I mean, I did try around messing around with some of the guns. There's like a shrink. I think it's a shrinker expansion ray. There's a dubstep gun, which I was interested in trying, but that's quite shit, to be honest. It doesn't really do anything, apart from when you use it, it just plays dubstep. I mean, the game has two endings, which I found out today, but lucky enough I managed to get the perfect ending, because there's so many missions for you to do, because there's the loyalty missions, which I mean, it's weird how much this game pulls from other games. I mean, it sort of pulls stuff from Mass Effect. It pulls a lot from The Matrix, the whole basic setup for the story. I mean, even the titles of some of the missions are sort of hints at movies and, you know, other stuff like that. But yeah, I'm just sort of looking through my list of stuff. I mean, that's the thing. It's like the superpowers do break the game when it comes to the fights and getting around the city, because all I was doing was running really fast down the streets or just climbing up buildings and then just sort of jumping off and flying around. I mean, it's a really, really quick blitz through the game I did. It does make me wonder, though. I mean, I'm going to do some bit more to get some more achievements out of this, but I'm just thinking, it's like, well, when it comes to playing GTA 5, am I going to be going through the game this quickly, or will I be, you know, enjoying it more? Probably enjoying it more, because, I mean, the whole thing with the superpowers, to say, does break the game, and it gives it more quick to complete. I mean, I know if I'd been driving some of the stuff, some of the missions, it wouldn't have taken me so long to get there, whereas, you know, flying around a city is pretty simple and very quick. But yeah, I mean, I say I got the best ending, basically, to do all the missions and the loyalty missions. I mean, there's a whole bunch of challenges and stuff I could do, but just not worth it, to be honest. I mean, I've no idea if they're coming out with any DLC. Supposedly, maybe. I'm not sure if I'll pick it up just yet. I'll probably wait till it comes on sale. But we don't know what we're getting yet. But, I mean, it's a pretty good game. I mean, all the minigames are fun. There's some of them I do want to go around again and, you know, try and get a gold on. I mean, the injury fraud one, I think I did okay on some of them. I sort of had to work out how to do it to the best effect, because I've never been really good at those sort of mini games. But now with the superpowers, I can sort of, you know, speed run, just trip and fall over, and then I can sort of literally fly, break it. Sort of. I mean, the game is, even though it's sort of supposed to be, you know, a real person trapped in a video game simulation, it's still very buggy. I mean, some of them were there for on purpose, but some of them were there, it's like, trying to move and getting stuck in the scenery, that's not really supposed to happen. But I mean, to be honest, I like Saints Row 3 better than this one. I mean, this one's really good. I mean, I think it's the final game in the series, because I mean, I can't really see where you're going. I mean, the first two games you were set in, I can't remember what the hell was the first city was called. But this, I mean, there's Steelport is the second one, and you've done, you know, Saints Row 3 and 4 in a basic Steelport. I mean, it's quite good. I mean, they have Keith David, who I'm a big fan of. He's playing himself, and they hint at references because he played, I think, Julius. He was the, you know, the sort of leader of the Saints in the first game, and basically a hint at how they sound alike and that sort. It's a lot of tongue-in-cheek inside jokes, a lot of references to other games. It's a really fun game. It's a game just to have lots of fun with. I'm not even sure about the multiplayer. I'm not even sure if there is one, because I've never really followed. Well, I have been, you know, looking forward to this game and looking at all the trailers and stuff. I haven't really that fussed about if there is one. But, I mean, I'll pick it up and have a go. I mean, I've still got other stuff. I mean, I do want to... I've still got that Dishonored DLC I need to do. I need to finish that. So there's other stuff I need to play. I mean, because since GTA 5 is in a few weeks now. Pokemon's a few weeks after that. So I just want to get through all the stuff I've got to get through now, and I'll be happy. But yeah, I'll say I played a few things this week. I mean, you know, the most happy I am with was probably that demo for NHL 2014. But yeah, I mean, Saints Row 4, really good game. Finished it so damn quickly. But with the stuff you can do, and basically, I could have finished it in a few more days, but I just powered my way through it, just to get it done, so that I wouldn't have to worry about having it still to do once GTA 5 was down the road. Other stuff I got to mention, I got my ticket for the Eurogamer Expo. I picked that up, there's a few left. That's at the end of September. I think I got myself an afternoon ticket, which is, I think, from like 2 till 7. So basically I'll, you know, get around there around 2 and then just sort of walk in, have a look, take some pictures, meet some people, see what happens. But it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. You know, hand out some business cards, do some, you know, do some work for the radio station. Yeah, as I say, other stuff. Gamescom happened last week. That's all wrapped up now. Supposedly it was all positive. Everyone seemed happy with it. It went really over really well. It was basically, you know, Europe's answer to E3. But yeah, I mean, I got to watch the Microsoft and Sony conferences. Very disappointing. I mean, the Microsoft one, it was a joke. It really was. it was about, I think, like 37 minutes. I watched this, obviously I watched it on the YouTube, on the Xbox, both of them. I mean, the Microsoft one was like, was it 37 minutes? And most of the clips they showed us of games is stuff we'd already seen. And the it was literally in 30-second increments of the what we did see. But they were just talking about, you know, how we're going to do this. And basically, it's all the bullshit we've been told before. There was nothing new to show. I mean, I've got plenty of news articles about what happened and the snapping back and forth between Sony and Microsoft to talk about in the news segment. But I mean, yeah, I did. So I watched the Sony conference as well. That was a little better. Not much. It was, bit some good bits here, some bad bits there. I mean, it's kind of weird because I'm actually sort of, even though the Xbox is going to be more expensive than the PlayStation 4, I am more interested in the Xbox, to be honest, thinking about now. Because I was looking at the PlayStation's launch lineup. There's not much, to be honest. I mean, hopefully we'll get, I mean, I'm not going to buy one until probably like this time next year. PlayStation 4, that is. But I mean, there's nothing really there that's interesting me. I mean, even though I do want one for whatever Uncharted game we're going to get, or God of War, or that sort of stuff. But I mean, there's nothing really there that's doing it for me at the moment. I'm more interested in the Xbox, but I don't want the Kinect. I have no use for a Kinect. But I mean, there's stuff there for the news section anyway that I want to get to. Also, I did watch the Call of Duty show, or whatever the fuck that was, Call of Duty conference, and they had like a bunch of pro players, which go fucking suck a dick. I mean, that's gonna be my topic next week. It's gonna be esports and professional gaming, and I want to know your thoughts on this, because I just line them up against the wall and just shoot them. But that's just me. But yeah, so this week's topic is gonna be about money in gaming. It should be very quick, because I did a little bit of prep on this, but there's not much to it. I mean, my main thought is, like, basically, why we're getting a load of games now at the end of the console's life cycle, and some of them are quite, are cheaper than most. I mean, Saints Row, it wasn't exactly the budget title price, but it was a good, 10, 15 quid cheaper than, any brand new game, say like when Halo comes out or Call of Duty, it was quite cheap. It's normally sort of just over half price. I mean, does that have an effect on stuff? I mean, I wonder about certain things. I was just thinking about stuff like AAA titles and stuff like that. What am I trying to say? Single-player games and multiplayer games. I mean, Titanfall's a multiplayer-only game. Should we be paying full price for this? Even though it's a next-gen console, and it's all, Respawn Studios, which basically were Infinity Ward before they all left after the EA Battlefield debacle. But yeah, I just wonder if we should be paying too much for games these days, when you've got the games that are coming out are lacking certain features. I mean, the multiplayer is there to extend past the single player. I mean, I go to stuff like Bioshock 2. Good single player. So I don't remember what happened, but I enjoyed it. And the multiplayer extended it. It was really fun. I mean, I think I was talking to JJ over the weekend about this. And, I said I enjoyed the multiplayer for Bioshock 2, compared to, what everyone else thought about the game. But yeah, I mean, it's stuff like that. It's what else? Yeah, say Dead Space. That was the first one was a single player only. I mean, how does that have an effect? I mean, should it be a budget title? I mean, does the studio have an effect on what we want to pay for games, or what we should be getting? I mean, when it comes to stuff like Dead Space, I mean, I have no problem paying full price because it's the quality that we're getting. But with a lack on quality, I mean, is that a judgment call made by by the developers and the publishers? Or eventually when the game does come out, and it's sold a little bit, not as well as it's supposed to be, and the price goes down, and it sells more as a used game sale, which to be honest, the publishers don't get the money for, or the developers don't get the money for, deal with the, you know, GameStop, Game, GameStation, that sort of stuff. They get the money for it. I mean, that's what I'm wondering. It's like, you know, other stuff like the digital ones. I mean, I look at Zone of the Enders. I mean, it's on a, was it 50% sale right now? As I said to you earlier, £12 or £13. I can get that as a disc version for the same price on Amazon. And you know, if it's on a sale, I mean, the normal price is about £25. Should we be paying that sort of price anyway? I mean, compared to what should, you know, the prices that we're getting for digital stuff be paying, should Xbox or, you know, Microsoft or Sony keep an eye on the stuff, prices on Amazon, all these internet online shops where people are selling like new or used games for a certain price, should they be reflected in what we're seeing on the download stores, on our download only? Because, I mean, there's no disc. Just getting the straight game. There's no manuals, no case, and none of that pressing or printing, all that sort of stuff. It's just going straight to download. I mean, it's like the Zone Enders one's like 7.5 gigs, but it does include the first two games. Well, the only two games. But I mean, I wonder about certain things. I mean, we got the new Rayman. I watched the review for that. You know, Rayman, was it Legends Origins? Yeah, the one I talked about the demo last week. That's coming out. It's got decent reviews. But I mean, there's no real story to it. It's basically a set of five or six different worlds, and you're just basically going from one side to the other. I mean, Rayman's a game based in the late 90s. Should we be paying a game? That's the thing. Should we be paying full price for a game like that when, you know, it's so many years past its creation? I mean, I think about stuff like Sonic. That's pretty much download-only games now, which seem to be, you know, getting the major sales after so many different Sonic iterations where he's a werewolf or a knight, or you've got Shadow and his own game. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, after so many different iterations of the same franchise, should we be paying, you know, top price, top dollar, just for, you know, a game that's, for a character in a game that's been out for, you know, 20 years now. I mean, I was thinking about the Mario stuff. That stuff's pretty expensive. I mean, but that's the thing as well. Does that include to, you know, if we're doing the same old stuff, should we be paying all these prices? You know, it just makes me wonder. But yeah, I mean, you know, single player only games, Assassin's Creed 1 and 2. I mean, is it the publishers? They're the big, you know, big pusher on these games. I mean, I remember when Assassin's Creed came out, it got so much press attention for, you know, it's an amazing game. I say that's the thing, the longevity of the game, even if it's a single player only, is that good enough to, you know, to keep people playing? I mean, Assassin's Creed 1, I got all the achievements in it. Fucking hard, because it was literally, there's flags and all sorts of different collectibles that had me playing for hours and hours and days. But yeah, I just wonder about that and how it affects, you know, the prices. I mean, because, you know, the next generation, the prices have gone up about, you know, £10, $15. I mean, should we be paying the full price for a game which has half the content? Or, I mean, there's other stuff as well to add to it as well. I mean, you have, like, when, you know, games are getting patched. I mean, I got my copy of Saints Row 4, put it in, and needed a patch. We're buying games that aren't even finished, or games that needed patches, because, as I say, you heard me say before, lazy developers, you know, aren't, you know, focused as they should be on games, or not taking enough time because they're in a hurry to get it for the summer rush or for Christmas or that sort of stuff. I mean, I that's my whole thought process when it comes to this sort of stuff. But I mean, you know, multiplayer only games. MMO, should we, I mean, I think it sort of works with PC because those games are pretty cheap anyway, and you're looking at subscriptions for, like, you know, 15, 20, you know, roughly pounds or dollars, whichever one you like. But I say about Payday 2, I mean, there is a single player to it, but sort of, it's mainly designed for multiplayer. And I mean, it's a budget title anyway, the price is very cheap at the moment. But I just wonder about, you know, that sort of stuff, the content that we get. I mean,
I don't really pay too much attention to reviews. I sort of, you know, have a look on YouTube, look at some videos, chat with people, see how they think about certain things. I was like, well, should that affect... I mean, there's so much that can affect the game's price. But then what's the after effect? I mean, is it, you know, on... You know, is it basically... I mean, should they listen to us and say, well, this game you've made is not worth it. We want it cheaper. Should the publishers listen to it? Probably not, because, you know, they've got money to make on games. I mean, the amount of money it costs to make games these days and the amount of staff. Just so many people all needing their monthly pay packets. But I don't know. I mean, it's just, I mean, this is a really short topic anyway, because I've got so much news to talk about. But it's just a thought, really. I mean, next week's topic is going to be a bit bigger. It's going to be, hopefully a bit bigger. It's more about esports and e-gaming. I do wonder about the prices. I mean, I'm hoping that we'll get something done with the cost of download sales. I mean, you look at games normally. I mean, I know I've talked about this before many a time. It's like, you know, I go down to my local shop and want to buy a game. It's, you know, 10, 15 quid cheaper than it is if I as a boxed version, then if I try and download it straight from, you know, from the PlayStation Store or Xbox Live. I mean, that has to have some effect on, you know, what we're getting these days when it comes to games. I mean, I don't mind paying full price for a game, but I want to get value for money, and that's basically what it's down to. We want to get value for money from games. I mean, anyone can get value for money from multiplayer as long as it's good. I mean, Dead Space 2 had a multiplayer, which no, I don't think anyone played, but a few people did. Obviously. But, I mean, it just wasn't there for what it was. I mean, I never really even tried the... Well, I mean, you know, the thing that Dead Space 3 didn't have multiplayer co-op. I mean, you know, me and Stuart played that a few times. But, yeah, I mean, it's all about trying to get value for money from your game. I mean, this has to reflect on the publishers and developers as well. It's like, well, you want to charge this much for your game, you got to make sure that we get full fun from it. I mean, I say I'm thinking now about Saints Row. I mean, I've only got like a bit more to do, like a few more achievements to get, and I probably am really done with that game. There's nothing else I need to do. Whereas something like Dishonored, this game has so many different ways to play, from being stealthy or just going in and killing people. And we've got DLC, which basically extends on from the single player as a new character, but similar powers. And you can do that as well. You could be stealthy or you can just go around killing everyone. I mean, there's tons of other stuff. I mean, I sort of wonder, because, I mean, I was looking at prices like, I mean, Hitman Absolution, really good game. They're very cheap now on in certain places. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this game only came out like a few months ago. Really good game. There's tons of stuff you can do. Definitely worth its full price, but it, you know, just didn't do enough for certain people to get them to want it to buy. But, I mean, you know, I just wonder about this stuff. It's you know... It's one of my sort of thing, pet peeves. It's like, I want to make sure, yeah, that's usually why I do wait until the game is cheaper, because if I feel I'm going to get the value for money for it, I'll buy it straight away. So it's basically what I'm doing with Pokemon or, Grand Theft Auto, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, that sort of stuff. You've got to have the depth in the game and the ability to grab your players with the content of what we're getting. I mean, it's basically, I mean, the value for money, can be said, well, you get your value for money as long as you get your content in the game that's worth playing. I mean, your first-person shooters, you're going to get your money for that, because people will, I mean, the way Call of Duty and Battlefield have been the past couple of years, people are going to buy them through the nose. And they're going to have hours and hours and days of playing, you know, just non-stop, just killing people. I mean, you look at all the kill lists that come out. Like, supposedly we've killed, I think Battlefield was like the population like six times over the amount of bullets that have been fired, and yeah, you know, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's just basically us trying to get value for money for games. I mean, there are certain digital stuff, like, you know, your arcade titles, and I mean, say Plants vs. Zombies 2. I got an update for that just now before the show started, so I'll I'll hook up my iPod and give it a go and see if it doesn't crash after the first 30 seconds and actually get into that game. But that was free. I mean, free games are great because, you know, as you know, I'm quite cheap and tight. I don't see the point in paying for something, you know, that hasn't got value for money, which surprised me. I mean, considering that Plants vs. Zombies, the first one was amazing. I loved it. And the second one just came out free. It's like, well, why would you do something like that? You know, I mean, I think Team Fortress 2 is free. But that makes me wonder as well. It's like some of the stuff that we are getting, games that have become free, have got basically like microtransactions. I mean, I have no problem paying microtransactions, but it's got to be worth it for something. I mean, I think, was it World of Warcraft, I think, is doing microtransactions now. You've got Team Fortress 2. Several of the MMOs have done microtransactions. I think Star Wars does it, and the Star Trek MMO, that does it as well. But it's got to be worth it. That's the thing. It is down to value for money. It's like, what do you want to spend your money on? Would you want to play a game for so long and have to slog through it? Or you can, you know, use some of your own money. And if you're going to have a game with microtransactions, would it be better to have the game sell at a cheaper price because you know you're going to get your money from all the microtransactions? That's sort of what I wonder. But, you know, I mean, stuff like microtransaction, is that the end of the MMO's life cycle? You know, it's the last option to, you know, attract players, you know, make a game free, and then just basically just make your money on swords and special boots and stuff. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it all does just make me wonder, really. It's, you know, I mean, you know, I've asked if I can find my iPod wherever I'm trying. Ah, there we go. So I'm just trying to reach for it. Yeah, I mean, I did ask this on the Facebook group, and I did get some comments from a couple of people. Well, one second, as soon as it loads, that's where my iPod needs to be thrown through a bloody wall. One sec, sorry. Here we go. Just wait for it to load. But yeah, I mean, I wonder about certain things. I mean, I'm always wondering about the prices of stuff. I mean, how it reflects on other people. I mean, because, I mean, we hear about, I think, was it Tomb Raider and Hitman? Didn't exactly meet sales targets. Now, was that due to certain things like, you know, there not been enough value in the game for people to play? I mean, which is bollocks considering, you know, Tomb Raider is an amazing game. Hitman Absolution, an amazing game. You know, it's things. I got here from Stuart, not the usual Stuart, the other Stuart I know. He says, speaking as a developer, we love digital sales. It cuts out the middleman and allows to make more money. Speaking of, as a consumer, he drives him nuts because he'd like to buy a game secondhand. So do I. It's cheaper. Marie got in and she says, you know what I say, mo money, mo problems. Yeah. It's the thing. It's like, you know, we'd all love games to be free. We wouldn't have to pay for it, but I mean, that's like the whole balancing act with gaming these days. That makes me worry, the fact that all this stuff about piracy, how that has an effect on gaming. I mean, most of the stuff PC that's pirated is PC games anyway, which I don't know. I mean, I don't play any PC games anyway. But I mean, I can imagine stuff. I mean, when Spore first came out many, many years ago, I mean, that game was like the most pirated game ever, I think, for a little while. But yeah, I mean, how that affects on people. I mean, would it be easier if you're, you know, if you, I mean, because there was one game, I can't remember what it was. I think it was, they put it out for free, but put in a certain code that you couldn't download any of the DLC or anything like that unless you had the real game, like, and then you wanted to do something else with it. And that was how they sort of got around all the pirating stuff. But yeah, this sort of stuff, it does make me wonder and makes me worry about that. I mean, because this stuff does make me wonder about the gaming industry. I mean, if we do start having games that are, you know, half-price budget titles, which are basically AAA games, stuff like Ubisoft or Activision or EA, I mean, it's a basic breakdown of the gaming market. I mean, how much, and there's other stuff as well. It's like, well, how much profit do you want to make on your game that's, you know, costing us more in pocket? I mean, this whole thing with the season pass as well, trying to make more money off your games, trying to stop secondhand sales. You know, there's so many different things that can be, you know,
pushed around, ideas that could be poked and prodded. I mean, the whole money thing is one big sort of question mark about where do you go? If you go down this route, will it destroy gaming? Or if you go down the other route, will it weed out the pirates? And so much stuff you can, you know, it's basically a, you know, throw a bunch of dust in the air and watch it scatter when it comes to sort of talking about money and gaming and that sort of stuff. But I mean, you know, that's pretty much it for this topic. It's just basically, it's more like, not really a topic as such, it's more like a thought process that I just wanted to have a mention about, which is basically the same as next week's one. I mean, I've been doing this show for nearly a year now, and I haven't really talked about this apart from into sort of little, you know, snippets. But yeah, so next week's topic is going to be about esports, like, you know, Major League Gaming. I mean, does that have an effect on you? I mean, are you that bothered when you're playing a game and someone says they're, you know, Major League Gaming, or they play it professionally? I mean, are they just a bunch of arseholes? Or, you know, I want to know your thoughts on them. I want to know if they're a good thing, or if you think they're a bad thing, or if you're just not bothered. Or, I mean, because my mind is like, well, if someone said to me, yeah, I'm a Major League, I mean, I not exactly Major League, but I mean, I am starting to play more Pokemon, not professionally as such, but I do want to go to the competitions. I mean, because I am so looking forward to X and Y. I've been watching, I think on Nugget Bridge, I'm subscribed to them now on YouTube. Because I'm watching on my Xbox with the YouTube app. I have been watching a lot of the Pokemon World tournaments. I mean, I watched like the three finals, the Junior Seniors and the Masters, and like the I think one of the top eight matches between this one guy from Korea and one guy from Japan. You know, it looks, you know, very interesting, but I'm sort of wondering about how they think about certain strategies with certain stuff. I mean, it's getting me more and more excited. And we've got a gameplay video from Gamescom of like the demo version of just, you know, bits and pieces in the game, you know, catching and Pokemon and certain bits and pieces that, you know, standard stuff. But now with all this new graphics and, you know, whatever we get in, it looks pretty good. But so that's going to be the topic for next week. It's all, you know, esports, Major League Gamers. I mean, are they are you worried about, you know, playing Halo and there's someone there who's, you know, goes around the country, you know, in Halo tournaments? I mean, is that a big thing, or is it basically just a big fuck you to, you know, to us or to them? Or, you know, I want to know your opinion, because I mean, it does make me wonder, because I mean, there's the whole stuff with like League of Legends going on at the moment with the hacking, and I think there was a tournament that was like $1.4 million dollars for winning a fucking League of Legends. I mean, the whole thing about sports, about, you know, comedian said about, you know, it's not really a sport unless you have to move around or something like that. You know, I just want to know your thoughts, because literally, I mean, my thoughts is basically just sort of, you know, someone says they're a Major League Gamer, my thought is, well, and probably actually would be punch them in the face. But it's like, I want to know, because, you know, I'm interested. I mean, I can't stand Major League Gaming, all this pompous bullshit that, I mean, there's these sort of fanboys out there, and, you know, sort of ready to suck a dick on all these supposedly Major League Gaming professionals. I mean, how is it important to the rest of the gaming community? I mean, I remember when I was at the VGCs, you know, the Nationals with, you know, Nate and Rick and James and Emma and Tom. You know, we were talking about certain players there. StudyFoxFM.com. You know, for Pokemania. I was like, well, there were some people who take the game very seriously. I mean, are they the ones who win if you take it seriously? I mean, you put more effort into it. And, you know, I just, you know, I want to know your thoughts. So we'll go into the news. I'll go into a little bit, then I'll take a break. But yeah, I'll go into some bits and pieces. I'll get some stuff done, because literally I've got so much news to get through, and I just literally, I don't want to run out of time, basically. So we'll go into some... here we go, yes. This will please Matt. The Division announced for PC. I know his PC's as full as it is anyway at the moment, to be honest. Ubisoft has announced plans to release Tom Clancy's Division on PC, in addition to the previously confirmed Xbox One and PlayStation 4 versions. Ubisoft's massive entertainment executive producer, Rundquist, notes in the video above, the studio has been following community demand for a PC version of the action RPG, which was, you should be making this for the PC. I mean, the graphics look amazing on this, and I can't understand why you're not putting this on the PC, which they obviously are. This is very pleased to announce that the visual will be available on PC. Massive Entertainment has its roots in PC development with titles like Ground Control and World in Conflict. You can be certain that we'll provide you with a first-rate PC experience. During Microsoft's pre-Gamescom press briefing today, it was announced that exclusive content for The Division will be available on Xbox One before and after the game's release, suggesting there may be a multiplayer beta as well as the post-launch DLC. Ubisoft's CEO, Yves Guillemot, said The Division release date will fall closer to the end of 2014 than the beginning. Basically, it's not ready yet, and I'm okay with that. So I'm not going to be buying a console until this time next year anyway, so I'm not fussed. Take your time on it. Don't rush it, because we all want to play this game. It's probably the second most wanted game for the next-gen consoles next to Titanfall. Division is set in New York 3 weeks after a lethal man-made virus has brought the city to its knees. Players take on the role of agents from the Division, a classified unit trained to operate independently of commands and battle to prevent collapse of society. With amazing visuals, a massive open world, and dynamic PvP, we came away highly impressed after seeing the title in June. So much, in fact, that we named it best game. This is from Games Radar, by the way. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. Take your time, you know, work on it, make sure it's polished. That's the thing. All these developers, there's no rush. There's plenty of games out there. Take your time. We can wait. I mean, I know me and Matt are going to play this nonstop when it does come out. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, just the thing is, all we've seen is that little trailer. Was it 5-7 minute trailer? Which, you know, when I first watched it, I thought this trailer took ages. But then I found out how long it was. It was like, wow, it just went past really quick. I'll get into some Pokemon stuff as I usually do. Just wait for this thing to pop. Pokemon X and Y playable at PAX Prime. You can get Pokemon and X and Y in your hands for the very first time at PAX Prime from August 30th to September 2nd. So basically this weekend it's PAX Prime. If you manage to hold on to it long enough, you might even discover your very own Mega Evolution. Yes, you will, because I've seen the demo. Basically, you win one giant open field, and you're given one of the three, I think it's one of the three starter Pokemon, and then you just basically go through, and then you get to a certain area where you meet Professor Sycamore. He gives you Mewtwo, and then you basically have to fight him. I think he uses an Electabuzz. I can't remember I think he uses a Dragonite. And then you just Mega Evolve Mewtwo, you beat him, and the demo's over. That's pretty much what it is, but you get to play it, and it looks a lot of fun. It's like the same demo we discussed in our most recent Pokemon X and Y Weekly, a 10-minute visuals vertical slice of catching Pokemon, battle trainers, Mega Evolution. Yes, of course it's going to be the same fucking demo, you dumbasses. I'm hoping this demo is available at Eurogamer, because I mean, that's what I'm going to be queuing up for. I mean, I'm only there for about 5 hours because of the late ticket, but I mean, I'm going to have a wander around and see this sort of stuff. I mean, if there's a short queue, you know, later in the day, I'll give it a go. Nintendo's PAX Prime presence isn't just for Pokemaniacs, of course. Playable demos for the Wii U, titles like Super Mario 3D World, Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker HD, and Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze will also be available on the convention floor. A special Inside the Wonderful 101 session will be held with lead designer Hideki Kamiya. Is scheduled for the 1st of September. So yeah, PAX Prime this weekend. So you know, if you're going to PAX Prime and you're listening to this, send me an email. Show me some pictures. You've got my email address. It's antisocialgamingradio@yahoo.co.uk. Yeah, send me an email. Say how it went. I'd love to know. I mean, now that I'm doing this show, I'm actually, you know, going to the tournaments that I can. It's not tournaments. The events that I can go to. I mean, I probably won't be going to one in anyone's up in countries that don't speak English, because literally, I mean, I'm bad enough in my English as it is. But yeah, I say, you know, send me an email, take me some pictures, and I'll chuck them up in the Facebook group, and I'll give you a shout out. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to, you know, I'm looking forward to Pokemon. I can't wait. I mean, the game's going to be amazing. You know, it's just give me something to do. I mean, I've had to stop time traveling now, so hopefully I can get into my my dream world and just send the rest of the items over. And then I'm sort of done with the dream world for Pokemon Black and White. And there's the shiny Pokemon now that going off in the States and hopefully next week over here. It's going to be, was it Dialga, Palkia, and Giratina, the shiny forms, shinies versions, which I'm going to pick up, but I'm just not really that fussed about training or anything, so, you know, whatever. Something else, I'm just doing dummy PC, I'll just do my Nintendo stuff, and then I'll take a break, because I need to open the window, because it's fucking boiling in here tonight. Gamescom, Ubisoft has faith in Vita and Wii U. We all think that they'll be able to sell more machines in the future. This is, you know, something from Ubisoft. So Ubisoft still has faith in the Wii U and the Vita. In an interview at Gamescom, Ubisoft executive director Alain Corr explained that he believes both platforms will find a footing soon. Well, I mean, Vita should be finding its footing, you know, by now, and the Wii U's only just come out and it's still having trouble. I'm just looking at there's an ad on the side. I've got this on my gym. There's an ad on the side for the Final Fantasy 14 Realm Reborn. Oh, I'm so tempted for this game, I really am, but I'll wait till I hear stuff about it. But I say, yes, this is, you know, from Alain Corr. We were very pleasantly surprised by Sony's last push on the Vita. He told IGN, decreasing the price and investing a lot into new IP and trying to use the Vita as a second screen for the PlayStation 4. All of that gives a lot of advantages for the future of the Vita. He says, we're watching the space and making sure that our PlayStation 4 games work on the Vita, so the global experience on PlayStation 4 is even better. Now, this is really weird. I don't know if I've said this last week, I might have, I don't know. Can't remember anyway. It's weird how they're sort of pulling away. Yeah, you know, I mean, with the last, you know, PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360, they wanted to make basically, the Ultra Boxes, you know, your device that did everything. Basically, everything was at the touch of a button. And then, for some reason down the line, it switched, and now it's all got to be done by cameras or second devices. I mean, you know, with the Wii U, with the, you know, the giant control pad that's a screen, and, you know, the Kinect, you don't, you know, need buttons, you just move your hands around. And whatever the fuck the Sony wants to do with whatever it is they're pushing out. But, I mean, I don't see the point. I mean, Battlefield 4, that's going to have, I think, for like the tablet devices, that's going to have some sort of alternate mission commands basis thing for it. But, I mean, it's stuff like this that it does make me wonder. It's like, well, why have we changed? Why have we become, you know, basically doing everything on one system wasn't enough. Well, was enough, and then suddenly we're doing stuff without buttons when it's a lot easier to use a button and just wave your hands around and talk. I mean, I explained this to, I think, JJ and the judge on their bonus show for the 360 and 420. I was like, well, we're talking about, you know, the Kinect and having to talk and stuff. But you've got games like Tom Clancy's Endwar where it didn't require the Kinect and you can talk to the game by using your headset. You know, as far as I know, that worked perfectly fine. I mean, the game didn't sell well, but it got to do what you wanted it to. But, I mean, you know, this other stuff as well, like, what the fuck was it? Mass Effect. You know, you could sort of talk to your Kinect, and there was Ghost Future Soldier from Tom Clancy. That was, you can use a Kinect and stuff on that. I have no idea how well that game would do. I have to find out, because I mean, it did make me wonder. But I can't read this thing anyway. Beyond Sony's platform, Corr noted that he thinks that Nintendo's struggling Wii U can find an audience soon, if only because of the strength of the Nintendo franchises. That's the only thing that's keeping Nintendo alive, by the way. The stuff they have in their franchises, Pokemon, Mario, Metroid, Zelda, that's it. But just fucking punched the mic. I mean, this is what's confusing me. It makes me wonder. I mean, I think it was a talking point a few weeks ago. I was like, well, you know, Nintendo has the franchises, Microsoft has the console and the sales, and Sony has nothing. But Nintendo are still struggling. Why is that? I mean, because we try to sort of think about the mascots for each console. I mean, Microsoft was, we said, was Halo, Master Chief, Nintendo's is Mario, and Sega was Sonic's, and Sony had, well, they had a bunch of different characters, Nathan Drake, Ratchet and Clank, Jack and Daxter, that sort of stuff, Kratos, but it does make me wonder. I mean, see, that's the thing as well. I'm just thinking about this now. I'm just, talking in my mind again. It's like when PlayStation 4 does launch, they have no, I mean, they might have one or two console exclusives. I mean, everyone's saying they were hoping for an Uncharted 4 reveal at Gamescom, but we got nothing. Maybe PAX Prime would be a better chance to announce it, or if I'm lucky, at Eurogamer. I don't know. I'm just sort of just wondering how well the PlayStation 4 will do when it comes to putting whatever games it's going to put out. I mean, they don't have as big a franchise history as Nintendo does. I mean, stuff like F-Zero X as well. F-Zero and I don't know. But also, I can't read. Since there are millions, tens of millions of fans of Nintendo brands. He says, I'm used to, I'm sure you've played Mario Kart hundreds of hours. He says, I do too. There are so many great franchises that are still making people dream. We think these brands will stay with us, he said. And after that, it's up to Nintendo to make sure that the machine can reach as many consumers as possible. We all think that they'll be able to sell more machines in the future. They have some of the best IPs in the world. Which, basically what I just said. And some of the best memories for their players. Trust, I think I've got more memories playing on the PlayStation and PlayStation 2, to be honest, than, actual Nintendo memories. Probably got more on Dreamcast than Nintendo memories. Where was I? Yeah, if you play Smash Brothers in the past, you want to play the next one. So the brands have a future for sure. It's up to them to work on more communication to get machines into more hands. But I say, it's okay with the communication. I mean, it's all right with the communications. We get the ads where it's that little sound and it's a bunch of people just sitting around playing whatever Mario game or whatever. They'll just put more money into the ads, but there's nothing new about the games. I mean, the new Super Mario 3D World is supposed to be pretty good. It's still not an evolution on the actual games that you're getting. I mean, there's nothing more to what we're seeing than, it's the same old shit that we're getting. It's nothing, there's nothing that spices up the franchise, nothing that, nothing that does anything for the gamers that hasn't, the games for Nintendo haven't done before, that is giving you the same old content. I mean, it's a Mario game. You jump up and down on stuff and you kill it. You get coins, you get 100, you get an extra life, you get different suits. It's the same stuff. There's nothing to, what happens when you've pushed your character as far as you can go by just doing the same old stuff game after game? I mean, it's surprising. I mean, we have all the stuff with Activision and Guitar Hero, how they sort of pushed that game out and basically it sort of, they killed it. But, what happens with stuff like Mario? I mean, that could probably be a topic for a future time. I'll go into a bit more Nintendo stuff before I take a break. So, Wind Waker and HD Pokemon, Wind Waker HD and Pokemon bundles coming to retail. A retail source told Destructoid that Nintendo will offer special hardware bundles for Zelda Wind Waker HD and Pokemon X and Y this fall. The Legends of Zelda Wind Waker HD will come bundled with a 32GB deluxe Wii U system. The report also included two 3DS XLs will come to stores priced $199. The individual systems will come in the colours of red and blue. I'm looking forward to it. If we're going to be told about this Pokemon X and Y bundle, we'll be soon, because I'll cancel my pre-order and buy this one. Because, I mean, I knew that the new 3DS, because I think the battery's really going on this one. Destructoid has not learned the release dates for these bundles, but both bundles are expected, in October. X and Y releases on October 12th. Wind Waker HD does not have a confirmed US date release date at this time. The report came from an anonymous source at Target who verified the bundles used in the store's inventory tracking system. We emailed Nintendo for an individual response. This is from IGN, by the way. We emailed Nintendo for an individual response and we'll update the story with their comment. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Sorry. Update. Nintendo of America says they have nothing to announce at this time. So basically, it's probably true. But once they want to confirm it, they'll say it. We'll see. But so they've got an update for this. It says a trailer for Hero Mode revealed the look of the Wii U Zelda bundle. According to initial report from Destructoid, the bundle retailed for about $350. To be honest, that's the thing, right? It's like, we've finally got someone in the chat. Change your name, guest, because I have no idea who you are. But they're telling me they need to get a 3DS, so I'm guessing it must be Stuart. But is it worth getting a bundle for? Do you want to buy a bundle for your Wii U from a game from like two generations ago? I don't know. The Wii U already has Skyward Sword. The Wii that had Skyward Sword. I mean, we need some new Zelda game. But I don't know. I wouldn't mind buying an X and Y bundle for Pokemon. I've got no problems buying it. I mean, I bought my yellow Pikachu 3DS, which was getting kind of scratched up at the moment. I need to give it a clean. It's literally getting dirt and dust in all the different places. But yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't mind just sort of messing around with that. It'd be decent for use of... Yeah, I did get it right. It is Stuart. You are correct for some reason. I logged in, but it still says I was a guest. Yeah. Of course, I knew it was you. It's always you. Stuart, you're in the chat, mate. Would you buy a... Because he's a big fan of Zelda. He's got all the statues and everything. Would you buy a Wii U bundle for Zelda The Wind Waker HD when The Wind Waker originally came out on the GameCube? I could see you doing something. I mean, he's bought some really impressive statues from Zelda. I mean, would that be enough to buy? Would that be enough to make you want to buy a Wii U? You know, a Zelda HD remake. You know, that was from like 10 years ago or so. We'll say, I don't know. I mean, I can't really see myself buying the Zelda HD thing. I mean, I've got no interest in a Wii U. I mean, there's some Pokemon stuff that's being rumoured, but, I mean, even for Pokemon, I still wouldn't buy it. I mean, even for the Wii, I bought my dad a Wii for his Christmas birthday a few years back. He uses it occasionally, but there's nothing really on it, to be honest, apart from the standard franchises that we always get with Nintendo. I can't really imagine. To be honest, I can't imagine me wanting to buy a bundle. So I don't think I've ever bought a console bundle. To be honest, I mean they've had other ones that look nice. The Resident Evil one, I think, that came with a chainsaw, and various other ones in the Gears of War stuff. I think it was the Gears of War came with a chainsaw. I can't remember either one. But yeah, I mean there's Halo bundles. It's like I've never really bothered to buy because I mean all the bundles have like special edition consoles. I mean, I would have, back in the day of the N64, but I'd love to have the that Pikachu N64. That would have been sweet. But, I can't see myself doing it, to be honest. I mean, there's no real need. I don't know. Does that really count that I bought the Pikachu 3DS? Does that count as a bundle console? I mean, there was no games with it. It was just literally a yellow Pikachu-themed 3DS. But I don't know. I mean, good for you if you want to buy it, but if you don't, well, whatever. I'll just see if there's anything else I can talk through about Nintendo. I think there's one more thing, unless I'm mistaken. Ah, here we go. One more thing on it, because I really need to take a break, because I need a drink. Nintendo copyright claims kills Metroid fan film on Kickstarter. The Metroid Enemies Within fan film, which took to Kickstarter for funding assistance, has been shut down due to Nintendo's disputing the copyright ownership. The Enemies Within page is currently down and reads, Metroid Enemies Within, a Metroid fan film, is subject of an intellectual property dispute and is currently unavailable. Nintendo's Digital Millennium Copyright Act notice reads, Nintendo owns copyrights in all aspects of its Metroid video game franchise and related products, and including but not limited to the character storyline, audio, visual, pictorial and graphical graphic works of its various games. So basically there's nothing. The infringing material statement reads that Metroid's Enemies Within film storyboards and related materials, unauthorized derivative works that infringe on Nintendo's copyrights in its Metroid property. I mean, that doesn't really stop you from, not making something that's not a Metroid game, but you can make something else, but just sort of tight. I mean, pretty much close resemblance between Metroid's character and Dead Space, the armor and that sort of stuff, but. It's not going ahead. I'd never heard it until recently anyway, so I'm not fussed. Say Stuart's in the chat talking about that he's never played Wind Waker, but I mean, I've never played a Metroid game either. I mean, I played a demo of, I think, Headhunters, when it came out on the DS. I think I've got that for free somewhere. But yeah, Stuart says he's never played Wind Waker. He says, no, not really. I think Nintendo died after the GameCube. They just don't have anything good. He says, I'll play the Legend of Zelda and Super Smash Brothers and some Mario Kart, but that's about it. But he says, I do think the Wii U is a waste. Nintendo seems to get their shit, needs to get their shit together. Yeah, I've been saying that since I first started doing this show. It's always the butter of my jokes is Nintendo and the fact that they have no clue what they're doing. And I don't really know how I could help them try and sort something out because, you do your thing and that's about it. I'm going to take a break now because literally I've been going for over an hour and I need rest. But I say I'll be back in about 10 minutes. I've got some news and you'll hear the little shout out I got from Ron and Fez. That's all mixed in here as well. But yeah, so I'll be back in about 10 minutes or so. So listen to the ads and the sponsors and all the other good shows on morelightradio.com. I'll be back in a few minutes.
That combination of and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back. MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at AdamandEve.com.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your hair cut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the...
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow is always their dick. He reaches in and his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
You know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging a cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude! Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast?
Not fast. I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard, kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe. Nobody does that.
Well, weird faggots. Who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Hey.
Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Oh. Who are you joining next?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh, boy.
I told you. Yeah, I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What? Oh, yes. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow up with a heart covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh no! 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 Stop. Oh, no!
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful? Not painful.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At T-Fury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTs. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's Tee Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo's Use show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my god, that's hilarious! Let's say it three more times.
Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, down, bow, down, wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Thank you.
You're
okay. I haven't been to bed. Me and Mike met up with these two Scottish guys in the pub and they gave us all this cheap speed.
Tim, that's so tacky.
Yeah, I know. You know, they were so nice. I think if we'd have said no, they'd have got offended and beaten us to death as a pool cue.
Where's Mike now? Oh, hi, Brian.
Put him up back.
What are you playing?
It's a subtle blend of lateral thinking and extreme violence.
What? Like it's a knockout.
Did you want something?
No, not really.
Oh, there's a letter here for you. It came yesterday.
It's open.
Yeah, I opened it by accident because we've both got eyes in our names.
It's from Vulva.
Oh, yeah, is that another woman's magazine?
Vulva, it's an old friend. She's having a show tonight.
You got a friend called Vulva? Who's called Vulva?
Real name's Ian.
Do you mean her real name's Ian?
She's non-gender specific.
Oh, wait, you mean he's a tranny?
More than that.
What, big fat tranny?
Vulva. Had a multimedia performance art partnership before she moved on. Such aesthetic wonders. Such vibrant times.
Yeah, I can imagine.
No, we did valuable work. She was the beautiful one, really. I just danced to her tune. It was purity. It was physical. Not in a sexual sense. No, we were collaborative. I don't expect you to understand. Most people don't want to hear, they just switch off. It's hard to hear the story of a love affair between two straight men, one of whom is the most divine woman alive.
So you're gonna go?
I don't know, I haven't seen her for ages.
No, I mean, are you gonna go now?
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. I go usual times. Go live at 8 p.m. UK time, at 3 p.m. Eastern, every Tuesday. So, you know, listen to this on the podcast. Come and join us in the chat room. So Stuart's in there now, so no doubt I'll be bugging the shit out of him for replies. I think he's the only bastard in there tonight. But so yeah, next week's topic, so again, is pro gamers and Major League Gaming. What are your thoughts? Are they a bunch of cunts? Or is it something that we should all strive and to be the greatest players that we can be? Is, you know, can you hear my sarcasm? But yeah, I say, you know, they can all go and suck a dick. But yeah, that's my view, and you'll hear more of it next week. But I want to know what your thought is. Is it something that's, you know, interesting, or should we care about them, or should we just look at them as the black sheep of the gaming community? But yeah, so I'll go into some stuff. I mean, I've got so much fucking news, and I'm running out of time, so I'll get into it as quick as I can. Ubisoft, the Watch Dogs movie. Yeah, Ubisoft is partnering with Sony on the Watch Dogs movie. It basically says the collaboration between Ubisoft, Ubisoft Motion Pictures, Sony Pictures Entertainment, and New Regency will be overseen by Ubisoft and The Wolf of Wall Street and Paranoia producer Alexandra Milchen, among others. The themes and open gameplay of Watch Dogs lends itself perfectly to the big screen. Columbia Pictures president of production, Hannah Minghella is said in a statement, the game has intense action and adventure, but the story focuses on information, the control of information, which we think will lead to an exciting thriller. It has tremendous potential as a motion picture, and we're thrilled to have the opportunity to work closely with Ubisoft's internal creative team on the development of the projects. Ubisoft did not specify when we should expect to see the film fit the silver screen. Given the typical cumulative life of video game adaptations, it might be a while. You can always port out, put Hackers on loop until then. Hackers is a great fucking movie. I don't care what anyone says. You get to see Angelina Jolie's tits. And it's really bullshitty, but it's a really good film. Fuck what everyone says about Hackers is a great movie. But yeah, just saying about this though, right? Stuart's in chat says, oh Jesus, I'm guessing that's the thing to the Ubisoft movie. Watch Dogs. The game isn't even out yet, and they're talking about a movie. But I'll read this as intent action based, but the story focuses on information and the control of information, which will lead to an exciting thriller. Yes, it was called Enemy of the State, and it had Will Smith and Gene Hackman, and it was an okay movie. We've had this movie before. Now there's a giant fucking moth in my place. I wonder if I can catch that with an umbrella, with a net, and see how many bells I can get in Animal Crossing with it. But yeah, other stuff. I'm just literally, there's so much stuff that's gone on this week, and it's literally on. Here we go. This is World of Tanks. This is what pissed me off slightly. World of Tanks may eventually come to Xbox One. Wargaming says a next-gen version of World of Tanks could come eventually once Xbox One's install basis grows. In an interview at Gamescom, Wargaming CEO Clisley explained that the World of Tanks is certainly possible on Microsoft's new console, but free-to-play requires more players before next-gen makes sense. And, to be honest, I mean, people alone were saying that, I mean... I'm trying to bat this fucking moth away. I want to buy a PlayStation 3 a PlayStation 4 because it's, you know, it's the cheapest next gen console, which many people will do, and many people will buy an Xbox One as their first next gen as the first next gen console because it's an Xbox, and there is more console exclusive titles coming to it, but. I mean, it will take some sales to work out, but I mean, I can't imagine that you wouldn't be able to stick World of Tanks onto it. But as this guy says, I see no reason why eventually we won't do a next gen. He says, told IGN, but first let them come out. Second, let them get a meaningful user base in free to play. You have to have millions and millions of players on the PC. We have 77 million registered users worldwide. More than 75% of our players never pay us anything. We monetize only a small percentage who deliberately, from time to time, give us something in the range of the price of a movie ticket. So 1 million say it's not enough of a user base for a free-to-play game. However, let them come out and... there are no tangible restrictions. That's it, really. That basically goes to what my previous topic was about, the money stuff. It's like, well... You've got to have, if you go to free to play, you have to put some sort of, monetization value on it. I don't know. If it comes to Xbox One, it's good. But I mean, I think Bisexual Ian, I think he said something about World of Tanks being either not good or okay-ish. I can't remember what he was talking about saying. But yeah, I mean, you know. If it comes to it, whatever. I mean, it's coming to it's in a 360, and if you like it there, and if it comes to Xbox One, then you play it. I mean, it's free. You know, you can't complain about a free game. But you know, we'll see how it goes. All right, we'll just have a look at some other stuff here. Yes, this is what's something I really wanted to talk about today. Sorry, I'm just reading the chat again. But Stuart was going on about for next week's topic about Major League Gaming. I'm definitely looking forward to what he has to say. I'm going to post, as soon as the show's over, I'm going to post the topic in the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Get yourself in there. I want to hear as much information from everyone on your thoughts So I'll leave a little sneak preview now. I'm doing a sort of special episode of Grand Theft Auto, but I'm doing a special subject topic on what you want to do first when GTA 5 comes out. And I want as much information from people as possible. And he's just saying what's up in the Skype chat. Microsoft says Xbox One still won't be sold without Kinect. When Xbox Chief Product Officer Mark Whitten said Xbox One doesn't need to connect to function, many, as include, this comes from Games Radar. Speculated about a Kinect-less bundle. It could be just a thing to match the Xbox One's $500 price tag with the $100 cheaper PlayStation 4. But Microsoft corporate VP Phil Harrison told CVG that it just isn't in the cards. Even though Xbox One can function without the Kinect, it's still too important a part of the system to go without. What a load of shit. Really, seriously. You don't need the Kinect to function with the system, so why would you pack it with a system? I mean, obviously for the reasons they're going to pack it with a system, because it costs more. And, you know, people who like Xbox will buy the Xbox for the higher price because they like Xbox. That's why I'm voting with my wallet. This is what I said about the whole money topic. This is one of the reasons why we have this week's topic. It's like, well, it'd be so much easier. You would sell, literally, I mean, if you sold both bundles, you could literally outsell the PlayStation 4 on day one. You know, literally. I mean, I have no interest in a Kinect. I mean, I think JJ Stoller, he's got a Kinect. But there's no need for a Kinect with the Xbox One. You've said it. So just put out a bundle that doesn't come with it. Because, you know, if you don't need it, why would you bundle it together with it? I mean, the sales for Kinect have sold well, mainly because basically GameStop bought them all. But apart from that, there's nothing for it. So basically, you're just packing in something that we don't want, we don't need, just so you can make yourself a bit of extra money. But if you sold it without the bloody Kinect, you still make shit tons more money. I don't get this. I don't know. I'll cover it. Xbox One is Kinect, Harrison said. There are not separate systems. They are not separate systems. An Xbox One has chips, it has memory, it has Blu-ray, it has Kinect, it has a controller. Well, then what the fuck do you need? If the controller is supposed to be the Kinect, why do you need the both? They're all parts of the platform ecosystem. Microsoft has reversed direction on several of Xbox One's unpopular policies before, but it's getting a bit too close to November for Microsoft to start pulling Kinect out of boxes. If they'd done that now, you would still had shit tons more sales. I don't know. Say Stuart's in the chat. What do you think? Is it, you know? Do you think that if they sold, you know, the Kinect-less Xbox, would it be sell more, or I don't know? Yeah, here we are. He's just posting in the chat just as I'm saying this. Why the fuck aren't they selling Xbox without Kinect? I mean, the Kinect was okay, but I don't know the new Kinect. I don't know the new Kinect better, kick some ass. Or I just won't fucking use it. Exactly. I mean, there's got to be games that you use with Kinect. What was it? Kinect Sports 2 or whatever the fuck that's going to be called when that comes out. But, I mean, yeah, there's got to be stuff on it to play. Otherwise, we don't want it. But, yeah, I say, you know, more from Harrison here. Says, I have an Xbox One at home, and being able to walk in and say Xbox on, just press the fucking button, you lazy bastard. See, this is it. This is it. It's trying to feed... trying to feed the fatty gamers who just can't be asked to get off and get up their lat asses and change discs and, you know. I mean, yeah, Stuart, if you want to Skype in, mate, Skype in. yeah, I mean, I just trying to, you know, I just don't get the point of having a Kinect. If it doesn't require it, why would you pack it in? Damn it. It's just one big pain in the arse, to be honest. Here we go. Stuart's calling in. Hello, Stuart. You all right, mate? Stuart? No, I guess he hung up. But yeah, I mean... Oh, here we go. Answer. You all right, Stuart? Hang on. Hopefully my sound's turned up. Stuart, you there? No, I can't.
Hello.
Are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
There we go.
I'll just change. Hang on. Just let me mess around with the sound options. And I'll try and turn you up a bit there so we can hear you a bit better. There we go. Yeah, it should be fine now.
All right.
So what do you think about the Kinects and that?
When I bought mine at first, it was all right. But after a while, it's nice for Netflix, stuff like that. You can just say Xbox pause or whatever, and it'll pause it. Like, it was just convenient. But otherwise, the games I bought for it, they were just god-awful. So,
I mean, when was the last time you bought a game for your Kinect?
Shortly after it first came out.
Yeah. I mean, it's been out for a couple of years now as well.
Yeah, it just... Like, I bought... some racing game for it, that was okay.
Oh, was it the, I can't remember what the hell it was. Basically, it used your avatar, didn't it? Is that the one?
Yeah.
I got that as well. I got it when it came out with the controller.
Yeah.
But yeah,
That was okay, I guess, but I mean, you can tell it wasn't cutting it. So, like, since I moved, it's literally sitting in the box, and it would take 2 minutes to hook up, but I'm just like, it's not worth the time. I barely use it anyway.
No, I mean, that's all I can see. I mean, they're so happy with this Kinect, but you've got to have games for it. I mean, just trying to sort of, I'm doing the whole Minority Report thing now, just sort of moving your arms around so you're pushing stuff out the way. It's like, just controller would be so much quicker and less arm movement, you know?
Yeah. When you're bitching saying how about they're trying to please all the fatty gamers saying Xbox on and people don't want to get up and change this. Like, I literally have a friend that won't, let's go play Gears of War, let's go play Battlefield or whatever. But if he doesn't have Battlefield either out and near his Xbox and it's just in the case and in a stack of games, he literally won't stand up, walk like a whopping 3 feet, pull it out, and pop it on the Xbox. I'm like, it takes 2 seconds. It's not like you're going to have a heart attack, you lazy fat bastard. He's like, they need an Xbox with like a 6-disc changer. He's like, I'd never need to get up. I'm like, you are fucking lazy.
Imagine coming with an 8-track player or something like that. But yeah, I mean, we've got to be honest, if they want to push it, they need to have games with it. I mean, the big thing they were going to push with the Kinect that we got with the current Xbox generation as well was like Steel Battalion, which went nowhere, and the Star Wars Kinect game, which basically turned into a sort of Just Dance ripoff.
I think the only time I used the Kinect for other games was I used it in Skyrim. That was kind of handy for shouting and switching weapons, mm-hmm. which is a pain because like the game wasn't constantly pausing. Like if it's on your favorites, like you hit up on your D-pad and it like pauses the game. Mm-hmm. You can pick whatever shout. Or switched like your bow or whatnot. Mm. I mean, with your Kinect, you could just say equip bow, boom, done. I mean, it wouldn't pause, nothing. It was a bit smoother, but like if I'm in a party with friends and I'm trying to talk to them and play that didn't work out. And for Forza, that was kind of cool. Like if you'd walk around, like the camera would actually scroll around, like you'd be walking around the car and all that. Like mm-hmm. otherwise, I don't use it.
Yeah, I'll say I was sort of transitioning for a second. I'll say I should have mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. They've got a new episode of, I don't know if I ever mentioned this, Key's Quest. It was a campfire stories featuring all these characters. It's like a new episode of that coming out because literally sort of the guy, Rich Matheson, he's working on some other stuff. but he put out like a special where it was sort of all his characters around a campfire saying about how there's be new episodes coming in the future, but he's busy doing stuff. And it's him doing all the characters, and it's really, really well done. So I don't know if you listen to it, but it's a good Skyrim show to listen to.
I feel like I know it.
Yeah, I'll send you a link later about it. It's a really good show. But yeah, I mean, I was actually hoping that we'd get something connect base with Assassin's Creed. I mean, it's Ubisoft. They did it with Endwar. I mean, I was having a chat with JJ and the judge the other day, and we were saying about, yeah, you know, you had your headset and you could talk to your game like that. I mean, how comes, you know, Assassin's Creed haven't picked up on this? I'd love to sort of, you know, be at, you know, the head at the jack door and just sort of say, you know, raise the mizzen mast and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It'd be nice if you could do stuff like that, though.
Yeah, it would. Like, I actually didn't think about that. When I think of Assassin's Creed, I'm just, like, don't even think about the Kinect, because, you know, it's never been in it, so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got something about Assassin's Creed. I was watching this new trailer today, and I think it showed off, like, two of the bad guys from it. Like, one guy's got, like, a scar on his face, and the other guy's in, like, a suit of armour. I mean, when I finish the show in a few minutes, I'm going to post the trailer in the Facebook group, but it's a really good trailer. It shows, like, the character and stuff.
I think I saw a trailer when I was on YouTube earlier, but I was like, meh, I'll watch it later, or yeah. I'll just forget to watch it. And
but no, I can't wait for this. I mean, isn't Edward Kenway supposed to be French or something, or is he supposed to be English? Because I heard something, he's supposed to be French, I think.
I think he's English.
Okay, because I'm just literally plotting the genealogy of, you know, where the character goes from being, you know, in sort of Jerusalem, Turkey, Italy, that sort of stuff with the whole, you know, the family line.
Yeah.
So, yeah, while I've sort of transitioned to Assassin's Creed, because what do you think about, I mean, not the Edward Kenway stuff or the Jack Door, what do you think is going to happen with the main character, like, when we go, before we go into the Animus, is it going to be, do you think Desmond's really dead, or what's your take? Because I'm umming and ahhing if he's dead or not, or if he just collapsed and he's in a coma like the Matrix. Because, I mean, it's so many games that I've played recently seem to be pulling the sort of Matrix, he's in a coma sort of thing.
I actually thought about that, but I don't know. Like, a lot of people like Desmond and all that other stuff, and it's kind of like Ezio. Like, everybody got used to Ezio for 3 games, you know, everybody loves Ezio, and there's, like, a new assassin. Everyone's like, oh, no, it's going to suck. Ezio's the best and all that. I mean, Connor was okay, but I think it'll be the same way with Desmond, and everyone's so used to him trying to introduce a new character, not unless he's, like, more of a badass and, I don't know, just way better overall than Desmond. I mean, just people kind of connect with what they've been used to for so long. So yeah.
You don't think it could be his dad in the Animus then, do you?
Didn't his dad get killed?
No, I mean, he escapes with the other British guy and...
I forgot.
They sort of escaped the collapsing tomb or something. But, I mean, that's the thing. We've found out so much about the actual Animus stuff. I think they're just sort of really off-putting the single-player stuff because it's just not... Well, they're not happy with what they created because we've heard nothing about it. And the game only comes out, was it a couple of months?
It comes out... October 17th or something like that, I think it is.
Yeah, so, well, basically the same week Pokemon comes out. But, yeah, I mean, I can't wait for Assassin's Creed. I mean, just I think this Edward Kenway is going to be so much better than Connor, to be honest.
I think the story is going to be really good. From what I've looked up, I guess, I don't want to spoil too much. I mean, if people haven't looked in, they're listening. But I guess apparently he's... He does something that slightly pisses the assassins off, and it gets their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of realize that they can recruit him to be an assassin.
Yeah.
But he teeters on the line of being an assassin, and apparently the Templars are interested in him too. And he totters back and forth between them before he finally makes the decision. So I'm kind of curious that'll affect the plot and all that.
I mean, because basically what you're saying there, I mean, we sort of... If you do skip ahead, it kind of makes it semi-obvious where it goes. I mean, if he does decide to side with the Templars because of what happened with Haytham.
You know. Yeah.
But, you know, we'll wait and see. So thanks for calling in, Stuart. So, you know, always good to get someone's opinion on this sort of stuff, you know. And, you know, really looking forward to reading what you think about the next week's topic, the pro gamers, and, you know, because I can't wait to get into that sort of argument and rant, and, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
I have so many people that say that MLG is just a big, giant waste, and, like, they've, like, I had a friend that said they have more regulations for certain guns and stuff they can't use in, like, Call of Duty for MLG and all that other stuff. He's like, it's disgusting. He's like, this... He's like, it's in the game. He's like, why not use it? You know, they should be able to... I just... Whatever. I don't really care about it. I just play games because I enjoy it. I mean, it's not... It's just,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's basically what I'm going to be like next week.
It's a big waste.
It is. It is. All right, mate. I'll speak to you soon. Thanks for calling in. Do appreciate it.
No problem. I'm going to continue playing Red Dead.
Yeah, have fun with that. Yeah, it's what you're on your Xbox, is it?
Yeah, I think I'm playing Red Dead. Just getting in the mood for Grand Theft Auto. I was tempted to go buy Grand Theft Auto 4 and play it, but I was like, I have Red Dead, and Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out in like 3-4 weeks. I'm like, I can be patient and wait.
I know. I was literally just sort of looking at some sort of comparison videos from like, what could be better from in 5 than it better one in 4. And I was just looking at the graphics in 4 and how much of a change this new stuff, the graphics that we're getting in 5 is over, you know, what we had in 4. It just like doesn't make me want to go back at all.
Yeah, I did. I noticed. I've seen a couple of screenshots of changes, and it was. I've seen ones from like San Andreas and stuff in Los, like screenshots of like the beach in Los Santos. Like it's, and then I've seen stuff for Grand Theft Auto 4, and then for Grand Theft Auto 5 for screenshots comparing. It's just big difference, and I absolutely cannot wait for Grand Theft Auto. I've never been a huge fan of them. Like I've enjoyed playing them every now and then, but otherwise I don't touch it. But I think Grand Theft Auto 5, I'm gonna play a lot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the same. I mean, I mean, you missed the beginning part of the show. I got Saints Row 4 the other day on Friday, and I finished it on the Sunday. Yeah, I know. It took me about 21 hours to finish it, but I sort of got the best ending and finished the whole game up completely.
Like, I had a lot of friends play it when it first came out, but, I mean, the game's, like, what, not even a week or two old?
No.
And I have almost nobody playing on my friends list anymore. I mean, when Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out, I'm pretty sure I'm going to probably see people playing that for like a good solid 3-4 weeks before it starts to dissipate.
Mm. I mean, we're supposed to be getting some new trailer, which this shocked me because I was looking at this before I started doing the show. We're supposed to be getting some new trailer for Grand Theft Auto on Thursday. But I'm like, well, we've had the basic trailer, and now we've had like the online trailer. We've had a bunch of trailers introducing the characters. What are we going to be showing from this new trailer? Anything's possible.
I don't even know there's a new trailer coming out. I'll have to look forward to that.
Yeah, I'll say, you know, as soon as I get it and see it, I'll post it in the Facebook group and let everyone know about it anyway. But I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a blast.
You know, I think hopefully we're all getting on the Xbox. I think Dark Fox of Mark Out Radio, he's getting it for his PlayStation, I think. So basically, he'll be playing it on his own while we're all playing it together on the Xbox.
All right. I won't be able to play it till about Wednesday because I got work. Since I'm unfortunately switched over to night shift now, it sucks because it's like I've gone to every single midnight release for big games that have come out that I've wanted to pick up, like Gears of War 3, Battlefield, stuff like that. And it's like, I have to work. This sucks. But
I know. I was actually going to try and book the week off work, but I've got so many other times. I'm taking the week off of Pokemon, I know that. But yeah, it's just there's so much other stuff that I need to do and, you know, just can't really get the time off work, to be honest.
Yeah, I'll be playing it Wednesday. Well, I only work 6 hours on Wednesday, so I get out at 1 a.m. I'll go home and I'll probably play it till 7 in the morning, then go to bed.
Yeah, and so I know when it does come out, literally, I've got the next 2 days off from work, so once that's come out, I'll be off for 2 days and just be playing it nonstop.
I was tempted to, like, I could get off work to play Grand Theft Auto, and I was like, nah, the money is kind of nice. I'm like, eh, I'll deal with it. It's near, I mean, I only work Sunday through Wednesday, so...
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to really wait too long to play it, but yeah. I will.
All right, mate, I'll let you go. Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
No doubt I'll speak to you on Xbox Live a bit later when I'm doing something or other. All right,
yeah.
See you, mate. Bye.
See you.
And that was my good buddy Stuart, calling in. Nice to have a call for a change. But yeah, Grand Theft Auto, new trailer coming out. I mean, literally, I'm probably going to start wrapping the show up in a second, but yeah. New trailer coming out this Thursday. I have no idea what's going to be in it. I mean, I'm excited. We're going to get some new information, but what information do we know that we don't know? Well, don't we know that we don't know already? I mean, we've been introduced to the characters. We know the online, what we're getting. We know the basic premise of the story. I mean, is it going to be just a basic story trailer? I mean, I think it's just going to be like a launch trailer with, you know, some new footage and new, you know, some flybys of whatever, like of the ocean or... I mean, I think I did see a copy of the map like somewhere online where it's basically, what do you call it? It's like the whole big front area is just a city, and then everything behind it is the mountains, and there's, you know, grass fields and area, that sort of stuff. I mean, I watched some videos, like 12 minutes long, of literally some sort of, what the hell is it, like a Land Rover or something, just driving through the desert, and it looked amazing. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see what we get. But yeah, I'll try and find something else to finish up. I mean, just sort of try and find something decent to. Just to finish off the what do you call it? Fuck it. What I'm trying to say. The finish off the show with. Okay, one sec. Here we go. Yes. This is something I saw because I've probably got a follow-up to this as well. The Elder Scrolls Online to have a monthly subscription fee. The Elder Scrolls Online will be a subscription-based MMO. ZeniMax Online has revealed the basic monthly charge will be $15, which would be €13 and £9 a month players will be able to expect some discounts if they purchase multiple months in one go. Game director Matt Ferrell told GameStar. Ferrell said the studio had opted to buck the increasing popular free-to-play trend in favour of the classic MMO business model in order to make the game it set out to make and one it thinks Elder Scrolls fans will want to play. Going with any other model meant that we will have to make sacrifices and changes we weren't willing to make. Well, give it time, wait to see how the sales go, and then you'll probably make your changes. It says, we're building a game with the freedom to play, alone or with your friends, as much as you want. A game with meaningful and consistent content, one packed with hundreds of hours of gameplay that can be experienced right away, and one that will be supported with premium customer support. Furor suggests that putting pay gates between the player and content at any point in the game ruins the feeling of freedom. It basically continues, the Elder Scrolls games are all about allowing the player to go on where they want, be who they want, and do what they want. Just having one small monthly fee for 100% access to the game fits the IP and game much better than a system where you can have to pay for features and access as you play. The Elder Scrolls Online offers unlimited play for the first 30 days with the purchase of the game. He says, we'll talk about further discounts later for added, but for now we are happy to finally announce our model. It's very simple. You pay once per month after the first 30 days and the entire game is available to you. The MMO was originally scheduled to release on PC and Mac this year, but at E3 in June, ZeniMax announced that it had been pushed back to 2014, where the game will also launch on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. But yeah, I mean, that was what we got, but I got this as well. I got this right before the show. I was just looking at stuff. One second. Yeah, here we go, yeah. Bethesda pushing Microsoft to drop Xbox Live Gold fee for Elder Scrolls Online. I scrolled too fast. Yeah, one sec, sorry. Bethesda is pushing Microsoft to make a special exemption in the case of upcoming massively multiplayer online role-playing game, The Elder Scrolls Online, and drop the Xbox Live Gold fee for gamers interested in playing that title on Xbox One. But to be honest, the Xbox Gold Live fee, I mean, that's for everything. I mean, I can't really see them just dropping it just for one game. But speaking with OXM, Bethesda Vice President and PR of Marketing, Pete Hines, acknowledged that the Xbox One's live subscription fee, about $5 per month, pays for services not specific to any particular title. However, he said Bethesda is working with Microsoft on potentially changing the rules. Having said that, we have been in talks with Microsoft about the very oh, sorry, about the about that very thing. And seeing whether or not there's any room to change their minds about that, Hines said. For folks who are paying paying the Elder Scrolls online and paying Elder Scrolls online and don't want to pay for Xbox Live's Gold subscription, just pay what the fuck is sick? I don't know. There's some weird shit in this fucking writing of theirs. Hines said right now that there's no way around the Xbox Live Gold fee, but made clear that the issue is something that we're aware of and we keep pushing on to see if there's anything that can be done. I'm sorry, just close the window. One sec. Yeah, so Elder Scrolls Online will carry a $15 monthly subscription fee for PC. For Xbox Live and for Xbox One and PlayStation 4 versions, players will need to pay this fee in addition to Xbox Live Gold and PlayStation Plus membership costs. Bethesda should be getting a subsidy from, from Sony and Microsoft about this sort of stuff. Because if you're going to pay twice, you might as well just play it on the PC and just pay once. Which I can see most of the people playing it on the PC anyway, but. Well, I mean, we'll see how. I mean, as I said during the show earlier, the stuff that's happened with the Final Fantasy XIV, Realm Reborn, that sort of looked interesting to me. I mean, depending on how well the sales go, then whether Bethesda would want to keep this going about complaining about the if their people are paying for the game twice. You know, they pay their Xbox Live subscription and then they pay in something else. But yeah, I mean, it does. It does make me wonder. But so yeah, so World of Tanks developer Wargaming CEO Victor Kisley said in June that he was unhappy with the Xbox Live Gold requirement for free to play games for World of Tanks. Though he said there's nothing he can do about it. They cannot drop it for us because they have to drop it for everyone else, and it would be a total mess for them. Basically, what I said just said. This we have to tolerate, which I'm not happy about, he said at the time. The Elder Scrolls Online is aiming for a release on the PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4 in the spring of 2014, though official release dates have not yet been announced. But yeah, hopefully, I mean, well, I don't understand when we're getting this. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I've got no interest in picking the game up. It does look interesting, but I've done MMOs before. Well, I did Final Fantasy XI before, but I'm not really that fussed about MMOs. They don't really do it for me, to be honest. I mean, I don't really want to pay about £9 a month just to play this game online when there's other stuff that I could be paying. I mean, you know, over the price of about 4 or 5 months of paying for for an online subscription, I could have bought an extra game. This is why everyone goes free to play, because it's so much simpler, and you just pay for the game, and then anything else you want to pay in between, then you pay for it. I mean, World of Tanks, from what I read earlier, is sort of getting screwed slightly, because, you know, with the 75% of them, 75% of players aren't paying for it, they're just playing it for free. But, you know, I don't know. Fuck it. We'll wait and see. I mean, give us some release dates, some more information. But I mean, the game looks good, but I'm just not paying too much attention to it. I mean, it's a PC game. It's not, you know, it doesn't feel like it will be viable as a, you know, whatever it is they want to do with it with the subscription model. But, you know, as I say, if people want to pay twice, let them pay twice. If not, just pick it up on the PC. I'm sort of running out of time now, so I'm actually going to wrap the show up. But so, you know, it's Tuesday on More Like Radio. We've got Unsigned Height up later. We've got Alcohol by Volume. Also got Dutch and Rice. Tuesday's a packed show. There's tons of stuff. I mean, we've got more shows, you know, coming and going from the station. But, you know, yeah, always listen to this one live if you can. We'll go live Tuesdays, 8 p.m. UK time, which is 3 p.m. Eastern. So, as usual, I'll let you work out the rest of the time, your own time zone. Good show this week. So if you ever want to contact us, just Skype in. It's Antisocial Game Radio, all one word. If you want to send us an email, I mean, next week's topic is esports, pro gaming, Major League Gaming. I want to know your thoughts. If you think we're a bunch of arseholes, pompous douchebags, I want to know what you think. As you know, let me know. Drop me an email. It's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You know, join the Facebook group, is where I'm going to post the topic. It'll be a pinned topic, so, you know, top of the page. Facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Facebook.com/AntisocialGameRadio is our Facebook page. Give it a like. We're up to, I think, 61 now. I don't know where the 61 person came from, but we are up to 61 now. I'm quite pleased. And also at MLR Gamer Radio on Twitter. Follow us as well. So if you like my show, listen to Leak Speakers. They go at 6 p.m. on Eastern, 11 p.m. UK time on Wednesdays, just before Hippo Juice. Really good show. You know, listen to mine, listen to theirs. You know, follow them on Twitter. You know, the group, MLR Gamer Lobby, is for both of us. So, you know, interact with the hosts. We're always posting topics and videos and, you know, just making a better gaming community for More Light Radio. I mean, you think about now all the stuff that we've got coming out. We've got Assassin's Creed. I mean, Stuart was on just now. We talked about a bunch of stuff. You know, Grand Theft Auto V, Assassin's Creed, Pokemon. I did say to you a lot. I'll be stop talking about Pokemon until it comes out. But I'm still talking about it. I can't wait. It's going to be amazing. Looking for that time off. Literally, I just sit there. I'm going to be like, about, I think, 2 days, just sending every single Pokemon I've got from my Black 2 copy into my copy of Y, and just trying to fill up my Pokedex. But yeah, I mean, there's so many good games coming out. I'm going to try and organise some sort of game nights going on eventually, possibly. But I mean, I've been saying that for a while. But yeah, I mean, you know, Call of Duty's coming out as well, Battlefield 4, amazing looking games, and you know, we're right on the cusp of the next generation of gaming. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Wii U. you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff coming out. But, you know, it's all worth getting involved with us, you know, with the station. Listen to all the shows, you know, whatever. All right, I'm going to disappear now because I need something to eat. I'm starving. But I say, I've been Ashley. This has been Antisocial Game Radio. I will see you all again next week. Hopefully, stay healthy, keep playing some games. You know, get in touch. I want to know what you're doing, you know, what you're playing, and how long it took you to complete Saints Row 4. Took me about 3 days, about 21 hours. I'll see you soon. Later, people.
Ashley brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can fight.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate or good.